Podcast Network Asia.
First MetroSec is providing this podcast as a general market commentary. Reference to any specific security, product, or entity do not constitute as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy. The statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed by the hosts are subject to change without notice, and First MetroSec is under no obligation to update, amend, change, or correct any of the statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed. The statements, comments, views, and opinions expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the view of First MetroSec. First MetroSec disclaims any liability arising from reliance on or reference to any information obtained in this podcast.
You are listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast, where we feature timely and relevant discussions on the Philippine stock market and the economy, in the hope of providing you investing and trading guidance. Here's your host, Royce Aguilar, from the Research Department at First MetroSec.
All right. Sige. So, let's get started. So, good afternoon. I'm Royce Aguilar. I'm Department Head for Retail Research, no? For First Metro Securities. So thank you for attending today's stock market wrap-up. For those who want to listen more to our insights or listen to this complete episode, you can listen to it once we upload it on Spotify, Apple, and Google. Diba? If you want to listen to it again, feel free lang. But for those who attended, who are here, at least you have the advantage to ask me questions, no? Na you want to know. So let's get started. So let's discuss what happened not only in March, no, but first quarter of 2023 as a whole. And then we'll discuss what to watch out for in April. And then we'll mention our stock picks. And then select traders playbook reports. So what happened in first quarter of 2023, diba? So let's put everything na. So in March 2023 alone, the PSCI ended lower by 0.9%. So we closed earlier at 6,499.68. So now, year to date, the PSI is down by 1.1%. Okay, so what made the market rally? Punta muna tayo sa January. There's this the opening of China, right? Remember back in January, the market hit as high 7,000, di ba? Parang kailan lang. And back in January also, that there was a better than expected manufacturing and OF remittances data. And then, punta muna tayo, what made the market pull back? Feb, di ba? What we gained in January was already paired in Feb alone. So higher than expected inflation sa Philippines. Diba? Remember the 8.7%, there was this MSCI rebalancing. And then because of the higher than expected inflation, central bank officials turned more hawkish, right? So going to March, the first week of March was also interesting because there were now worries over troubled banks in US, diba nagsimula yan kay Silicon Valley Bank, meron pa Silvergate, tapos naging Credit Suisse, recently Deutsche Bank. And then last week, the market digested the lower policy hike na recall 25 bips. And what we keep on mentioning is what's more important is what are they saying in terms of what will happen moving forward. So they signaled na baka mag-rate hike post to ease the recent turmoil in financial markets. So that made the market rebound a bit, right? So basically, that's the highlight for the first quarter, no? So if you take a look at the chart, it's updated as of earlier today, March 31st. So yung 6,600 resistance siya ulit, right? You can take a look at the 50, that's the green there is, I think, the 50 DMA. But bottom line is for the past 2 weeks, the market has mostly traded within 6466, mostly. Kasi nag-overshoot sa below 16, nag-overshoot above 66, but it closed between that said support resistance level. So that really signaled that the said levels remain to be key support resistance. So now, the market has to stay above the 200 DMA, yung 6492. Diba? The market closed at 6499, slightly above 6492. Because usually the 200-day moving average is an indicator used by a lot of fund managers or kasi longer-term moving average. So if it trades back below 6492 or the 200-day MA, the market might further correct. Diba? And we reiterate our view na kailangan mag-break above 6.8 kasi 6.8 parang ano yan eh. If mag-break above 6.8 parang high siya, diba? As compared to trading yung 6.6 niya yung recent high. So it has to break above at least 6.8. Preferably dapat mag 7K. So now we take to discuss the banking crisis na 2023. So for those listening to podcast, I will discuss what is shown here on the slide is a timeline. Diba, no, March 8, in crypto-friendly Silvergate Capital Corp said it would wind down operations and voluntarily liquidate. Tapos, same day, si Silicon Valley says that it intends to raise $2.25 billion in common equity and preferred convertible stock. Then March 9, diba, si S&P 500 Bank Index reflected the risk of what's happening sa recent announcement of the Silicon Valley Bank and Silvergate. So, yung Silicon Valley Bank collapsed by 60% in terms of the stock. And they scrambled to reassure that their clients' money was safe. And then March 10, yung California regulator shut down Silicon Valley Bank and appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp as receiver. And then on March 11, the US Fed and the FDIC weighed the creation of a fund that would allow regulators to backstop more deposits at banks. Basically, this is the support umbilis. And then March 12, Janet Yellen, about former U.S. Federal Reserve Chair, part of the Biden admin, says that she's working closely with banking regulators to respond to the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank. And then U.S. officials later said that the Silicon Valley Bank customers will have access to their deposits. So that's good. And the Biden administration reiterated na basically customers will be saved, but the investors will be zeroed out, which makes sense kasi I recall Biden saying that this is a country na capitalist country. So, may mga risk talaga in terms of investment. Nevertheless, yung customers were reassured that they would have access to their deposits. Then March 13, si HSBC acquired the UK subsidiary of Silicon Valley Bank for £1. Grabe, di ba? And then, US President Joe Biden said that the admin's actions should give Americans confidence that the banking system is safe. Kasi nga, despite what happened sa bank, nagkaroon siya na access to their deposit. And then, shares of U.S. regional banks slumped on March 13, led by First Republic kasi credit risk indicators flashed red as investors worry about contagion risks na baka hindi lang si Silicon Valley Bank. Lo and behold, March 15, troubled Swiss giant Credit Suisse says that it will strengthen its liquidity by borrowing from the Swiss National Bank. But prior to that, there was already the bad news na si Credit Suisse daw troubled, etc. But the Swiss National Bank saved Credit Suisse. The difference kasi, just to provide some reference guys, so 2008 kasi, they learned the lesson the hard way, diba? The government was not quick to step in. But now, since they are aware of history of what happened in 2008, they know now how to better respond, right? So let's continue. No, March 16, large US banks injected $30 billion in deposits in First Republic Bank to shore up the lenders' finances. Then see March 17, si SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. So, yeah, so March 18, March 19, basically, this is related to the news na si UBS, diba, took over Credit Suisse. So, yeah. And then, basically, March 21, 22, Janet Yellen again reassured that she is prepared to intervene to protect depositors in smaller US banks. So basically, the goal here is to protect depositors, not the investors, which makes sense. Diba? Kasi if you don't protect depositors, baka magkaroon siya ng big effects sa economy. And then, of course, Jerome Powell said that the failure of Silicon Valley Bank is not indicative of wider weakness in the banking system. And then March 24, na, this is Deutsche Bank na, dropped 8.4% since there's, according to some indicators already flashing risk that their bonds are at risk of default. Diba? And then March 27, si First Citizens Bank said it would acquire the deposits and loans of failed Silicon Valley Bank. So that's basically the timeline ang dami nangyari in March alone. So now, I would like to share diba? Si Silicon Valley Bank. It's parang case study to guys. So Silicon Valley Bank, before we discuss no, why they failed, because that's probably the question in our minds, let's discuss who Silicon Valley Bank is. So Silicon Valley Bank was founded in 1983 and it actually was the 16th largest US bank before its collapse. 16th largest bank. And they specialize in financing venture capital-backed startup companies, mostly tech. and in assets nila at as of end 2022, 209 billion. So now let's discuss also more of Silicon Valley Bank, that they provide financing for about half of all US venture-backed technology and healthcare companies. So it carries risk. It's also a preferred bank for tech sector, since not all banks would accept, diba, due to high risk. Di naman yung mga more established bank, they know how to do risk management better, diba? So nung pandemic in 2022, hot market siya for tech companies as consumers spent big money on digital services and electronics. So tech companies had large influx of cash, and Silicon Valley Bank services were needed to fund yung mga payroll, etc. So why did it collapse? So let's discuss. There's basically lack of diversification. So let me elaborate. Silicon Valley Bank invested a large amount of bank deposits in long-term US treasuries and agency mortgage-backed securities. However, diba, when bonds and treasury values fell when interest rates increase. So when the Fed hiked interest rates in 2020 to combat inflation, yung bond portfolio ni Silicon Valley Bank started to drop. They bought it kasi when yung rates were so low. So now, in terms of paper losses, ang laki. And keep in mind that Silicon Valley Bank could have recovered its capital if they held those bonds until their maturity date. But here's the problem kasi, na si Silicon Valley Bank used to lend out money in short durations. However, in 2021, they shifted to long-term securities such as treasuries for more yield. And they did not protect their liabilities with short-term investments for quick liquidation. So they were insolvent for months, because they could not liquidate their assets without a large loss. Kasi if they liquidate nila yung bond portfolio nila, at a loss yun. Hindi na siya paper loss, actual loss na siya. So, when economic factors hit the tech sector, many bank customers withdrew money as venture capital started drying up. Diba nga, ang dami nag-lay off sa mga tech names, diba? So, si Silicon Valley Bank didn't have the cash on hand to liquidate these deposits because they were tied up in long-term investments. So, they started selling their bonds at a significant loss, which caused distress to customers and investors. So, within 48 hours after disclosing the sale of assets, the bank collapsed. So, nagkaroon ng bank run. When Silicon Valley Bank announced that they would raise $1.75 billion, people became alarmed. Diba? The bank was short on capital, word spread quickly. So, ayun, yun yung nangyari kay Silicon Valley Bank, diba? So good to know history, guys, because sometimes history repeats itself. So what do we watch out for in April? So there's inflation pa rin, guys, kasi I mean, BSP mentioned, like I think earlier yesterday, that they expect inflation to pull back, diba, in March. They expect that inflation has pulled back in March. It will be disclosed, I think, on Tuesday, April 4th. We should continue to watch the language of central banks on monetary policy, if mag-rate hike pause or not. And of course, this banking crisis, there's something that will come next. Because there are repercussions, diba? Itong higher rates, higher interest rates, basically was the cause of Silicon Valley Bank's demise. So, is there something that will come next? That's the question. Geopolitics pa rin, something to watch out for. Economic data for April and for Philippines, inflation on April 5th. OF remittances April 17th. Unemployment rate also April 5th. For US, inflation nila April 12th. Jobs report April 7th. And then for other parts of the country, there's usually the manufacturing PMI, diba guys? Ng April 1st. And then EU inflation April 19th. Japan inflation April 2022. China GDP April 18th. So now let me reiterate our stock picks, right? I mean, I think there are additional insights naman. Especially dun sa second theme namin. But for those who haven't attended our prior events, no, we would like to highlight that for this year, we recommend being selective in your picks, being active. Not necessarily everyday active, but yung point is, usually, diba, yung recommendation, you look at your portfolio once a month, etc. We recommend a bit more frequent than that, like perhaps weekly, diba? Because a lot can change every week, diba? I showed you the timeline nung March pa lang, ang daming ganap every day. Nevertheless, selectivity is a key to outperformance. And here are three themes why, on which stocks we prefer. Diba, defensive names muna. So let's discuss in defensive names. For defensive names, we like these names kasi they have defensive revenue streams and secular demand drivers. So basically, mga staple names to, guys, na despite a tough economic environment, despite an inflationary environment, these names will likely outperform. So CNPF target price is still 29 pesos. Diba yung mga products that are top of mind? 555 Century 2 in Argentina, Birch 3, diba yung milk? So, kahit magtipid yung mga tao, Disney, ito yung mga brands na bibili nila kasi ito yung parang, ito yung one of the cheapest and yet well-known brands. Diba? So, that's basically it. Plus, they have pricing power that can partially cushion cost pressures. Kasi nga, alam nila how much yung influence nila sa market. And then they also have an export business. So for example, if nanghina yung peso, lumakas yung dollar, they have hedge for that in terms of earnings wise. Ayun. So for RHI, you know, these brands, these are under RHI, City Generics Pharmacy, Handyman, True Value, Uncle John's, PVC Mini Stop, Toys R Us, South Star Drug. So for RHI, your target price remains to be 70 pesos. It's a mall reopening play. I like to remind people about that, mainly because of all, diba sa property segment, merong malls, office, saka residential. We're more positive on the mall side and who will benefit from that? Yung stores inside, diba? Hence, the RHI, yung stores inside Robinson's Mall should benefit. And amid the rising inflation environment, ito si RHI can pass on cost to their mid to income target market. So target price for RHI is 70 pesos. For URC naman, yeah, top of mind products to Jack and Jill, Blend 45, Unison Cup Noodles, they distribute Swiss Miss also. For URC naman, you will notice na their share price remains resilient despite the market pullback. And it shows the earnings, it shows the nature of the business, how defensive it is. So our target price is 150. So kumbaga, our recommendation here is you just accumulate on pullback. It's a down trading beneficiary, diba? Especially right now, back to school, ano ba yung mga top of mind baon ng mga children, right? And they have a net cash position of 2.1 billion. So they can be on the lookout of mergers and acquisition opportunities. We are seeing a lot of companies now, diba, involved in merger and acquisition. URC could be one if they prefer to. And then for theme number two, si REITs. Diba? For REITs kasi, we would like to highlight na yung REITs are recommended, like one of our top recommendations in your watch list. No, parang ano kasi, parang it's, you can gradually come in now, but the main theme kasi is, when the Fed BSP is close to a pause, that's where you can potentially lock in better yields. Diba? And as mentioned kanina sa economic review natin, na the Fed and BSP are already talking about a possible pause. So it's best to gradually position on these REITs already. But of course, what we always like to highlight is we don't like all the REITs. Diba? Ito lang, ito yung preferred namin, C-REIT, M-REIT, RCR. So for C-REIT, target price 254. We like to reiterate kasi na they enjoy guaranteed rental revenues. Diba? They have long-term contracts, 20 years. Weighted average lease expiry na 20 years, meaning they can say na okay, ito yung minimum likely kitain namin this year, next year. So of course, for dividend yielding, yung mga investors, yung mga investors that prefer dividends, you have a bit, you can be relieved when holding these names. Diba? That's the point. So, yeah. For the next two names, as always, we like to mention na ito yung mga names na not only big, but in terms of occupancy rate, well above average. So for MREIT kasi, yung blended occupancy rate niya as of September 2022 is around 95%. For RCR, it's 98%. Tapos, nakakapagtaas pa sila ng escalation rates of 5 to 10% annually to their tenants. And we had this asset tour, no? To take a look at, again, okay, post-pandemic, recovery, kamusta na yung mga office space nila? And you know, we went and there's huge potential and we can conclude talaga yung occupancy rate numbers nila. For RCR, the same. Diba? When we went sa tour nila, ito, yan, no? Meron pa sila mga co-working space. Ito yung parang trend right now. Kasi, diba, the office segment on a national level, no, is struggling. But these two names are doing well. And because they have adjusted to the times. They have co-working space now. Kasi, yung mga office ng work from home, minsan, gusto pa rin nila i-meet yung mga employees nila. So, they avail of co-working space. Diba? They just pay monthly, quarterly, ganun. Ganun na yung technique na yun. So, target price for RCR, 6 pesos. And then, how do you position on this third team? Undervalued names. So, si RLC have been slowed down for quite some time. Security Bank has shown some strength, if you notice, guys. Nag-above 100 at one point. So ngayon, nasa 90. So let take advantage. You know how potential na it can rise it, diba, in terms of share price. And for all of you, would like to continue to remind lang, okay, we understand na parang nakainip rin, yung share price, parang new low, etc. But ito na lang, yung mall recovering. Si Robinson Salam, malakas sa malls. Tapos yung office space niya, again, above average occupancy rate. Si RCR, 98%. RLC as a whole, plus yung mga office na hindi kasama kay RCR, 92%. Diba? A lot of office names are struggling, but we have to recognize that si RLC is outperforming. It's just going to take some time for the market to be reminded for that one. So, of course, for long term, ito yung kay Bridge. Ito yung Bridgetown project nila. I think 31 hectares worth 66 billion pesos. More than nearly the market cap of RLC right now. It's something for to look for the long term. Okay, mag-invest ako kay RLC not only for the now, but for the future. For SECB, target price namin is 109 pesos. Again, as mentioned, we like the banking sector. Of course, we can't cover lang si Metrobank because we're part of the group. But nevertheless, Metrobank is also one of that undervalued name. But officially, under First Med is Security Bank, yung undervalued sa banking sector. Don't get us wrong. I mean, we like BDO, we like PPI, but which stock can you outperform share price-wise given the valuation? Security Bank. Yun. So again, ito year-end target namin, top picks, diba? Defense is the best offense, beneficiaries for central bank pivot, and undervalued names. So top picks so far, this is as of end March, no? Hindi ko lang napalitan, but this is as of end March, and it's outperforming the PSCI so far. Market cap and equal weighted. Yun. So far, so good for our picks. So in terms of key traders playbook reports, no, we have a lot na we publish naman every month, but we would like to highlight lang a couple na maybe you could be interested in. Ayan, so we have ICTSI, that's reporting earnings above consensus expectations. Diba? Si ICTSI, you will notice, if you take a look at the share price, it's always, parang siya isa sa mga uptrend. Nagpo-pull back siya, but it remains to be on an uptrend. And it's because it is continuing to exceed expectations sa earnings. Not only growing by double digit, but exceeding analyst expectations. Of course, they're cautiously optimistic about now given the economic headwinds, but the outperformance is there and they have concrete targets how to go about their cost efficiency, etc. Something you can consider. Eh nga, diba, uptrend pa rin siya. If you zoom out the chart further, makita mo clearer uptrend. So for us, if it breaks above 220, diba, this one, the immediate resistance, may be good for traders to accumulate. Next is Apex Mining. For Apex Mining, it's interesting because perhaps if there is an economic slowdown or a recession, usually investors flock to gold. So the question here is, sino ba yung gold play sa PSE? Sino yung exposure sa gold? It's actually Apex. Like over 95% of its earnings for the past, of its sales for the past 3 years, mostly sa gold. Yun. So gold play siya. Yun yung basically play namin kay Apex. For Apex lang, perhaps if it breaks above 2.10, good to accumulate. Yun siya. So yeah, if you want to hear more of our insights, diba, we will upload this sa Spotify, Apple, Google, right? In our recent episode, diba, mga previously companies, but this time around, maybe you're interested how to be a fund manager. This is from an actual fund manager with 30 years of experience, guys. Well, reputable na fund manager siya. Right now, he helps small investors. Diba? So good to hear his insights and hopefully I ask the right questions. All right. So yeah, let's start answering your questions. Okay. So good question. So why don't you like Aerit? I mean, for Aerit naman, it's more on, we like Aerit. So no problem naman dun. For Aerit kasi it's more on, we think it's relatively expensive as compared to the other REITs. And if you take a look at, based from what we see, no, based from the data that we have, the occupancy rate ni REIT is actually a bit lower than MBIT and RCR as of the moment. So again, as we mentioned, we don't only like bigger companies or bigger REITs, but those that can maintain well above average occupancy rate. See, REIT naman above average, but you know, si MREIT and RCR doing a bit better on that data alone. So for 80, perhaps if it goes to 31-30, good to accumulate na. Basta attractive yung yield. One thing kasi yung yield ni A-REIT right now sa nasa 6% eh. Right? So, as compared to M-REIT, or sorry, nasa 7% at least. So, that's something we consider. Yung upside yield, occupancy rate, diba? Not only sa name. Well, of course, long-term investment is good. I mean, we believe always buying at the right price. So, for, as of the moment, sa A-REIT, not yet. So, there. So next question, how do you determine target price for REIT names? Of course, we determine the potential of the office space and of course, the potential and how, if mamimit ba nila yung yield target nila because they have dividend yield targets, diba? If they just listed, naka-disclose yun sa prospectus. And now, as analysts, our role is to confirm if they can actually do that. So of course, we have a number of our own how to determine. We have methods on how to go about doing our research, or we have our own assumptions. If yung location nila is optimal for growth, potential ba yung space na yon, or puro, is it concentrated? Well, spread out ba yung mga asset ng REITs? Yun. So that's how we determine target price for the REIT names. So good question. Any impact of the failing overseas banks in the Philippines? Well, we like to mimic lang what PSP said na the banks here are safe, at least the bigger banks. That's why I showed to you earlier how Silicon Valley Bank failed. Mostly because of lack of diversification. And CBSP reiterated that at least for the local banks, at least the bigger banks, they're well capitalized, they're well diversified. Diba? So worst case, if may bumagsak na bank sa Philippines, baka yung mga smaller ones lang, na that will not impact our economy significantly. So I believe in that also. Next question, any info on Phoenix now that they have failed to pay out preferred shares dividends? Well, I believe they have this parang program that they mentioned earlier in March. And they're hoping parang within the next 2 months though, they will have a solution already. But based on what is already disclosed sa Edge, parang no progress yet. So we'll have to watch out for that pa rin. So, ayun. So good question. It's regarding the gap up and gap down prices of during the run of the day. No? Very interesting also. Well, usually those types of price action, you only see pag rebalancing, but there's no rebalancing naman. So it's mostly just think that it's parang window dressing rin. It's parang window dressing kasi usually pataas. But you could actually do some window dressing where you actually sell. Especially if you're selling companies na tingin mo mag-underperform sa earnings or at a loss. Diba? Something like that. So, we are hoping that those price will normalize in Monday. So, si Ali down 7%. Maybe perhaps it could rebound a bit on Monday. So, if you're a long-term investor, you could take advantage of that. But to answer your question, pag yung liquidity na market is so low, dun madali mag-gap up, gap down. And unfortunately, that's the situation of our market right now, na medyo low yung liquidity. Mainly because ang daming risk pa rin. Globally, and tapos may inflation pa. So, there. I hope I answered your question. I mean, the expectation here now is on Monday, perhaps it could rebound a bit. Na if you're a long-term investor, you can take advantage of that, assuming the names that have dropped are fundamentally sound. Diba? So, yun. Okay. So, there's this question regarding, yung underperformance sa PSEI as compared to Asia. I mean, there's this statement rin na I think from Governor Medalla, BSP Governor Medalla, that perhaps hindi pa tapos yung rate hikes and they will base from inflation, which is a good strategy, but I guess that statement lang spooked a bit some investors, especially nag-rebound ng market recently because of expectation na magkaka-rate hike post, but you know that was not the case eh. So in terms of his statement, so baka lang nag-take profit ang some investors. So now your question is regarding Monday also. For Monday kasi that there's a disclosure sa Edge na parang may equity restructuring. And in terms of our initial view, so far kasi the intent of the equity restructuring is for Monday to still be able to give dividends. Kasi si Philippine corporate law does not allow companies to disperse dividends if in a deficit position. So the restructuring was made to offset and eliminate that 7 billion pesos deficit. So I answered your questions. Hopefully that will be cleared up further. So next question, given the positive valuation of C-REIT and that the price has closed just below target price, is it best to accumulate further or reduce position? Well, for C-REIT kasi, yeah, it's a good question. And you accumulate, assuming about 7% yield it can give. Tapos let's just say, if the price is 3% below target price, parang it's a signal na, okay, if you want at least 10%, then that's the time you can buy na. Perhaps 3% below, diba, the target price. If you want at least 10%, if you want 12%, then buy 5% below our target price. Something like that. So, yeah. Okay. Let me see some more questions. What do you think about Semirara? Well, ako si Semirara, good dividend. Definitely, no, good dividend yielding name to hold. Diba? But we have to recognize na even according to Semirara, I mean, if you're expecting share price appreciation, like baka bumalik ng 40, unless meron ulit power crisis, we do not expect Semirara to revert to that level. Keep in mind na nag 40 pesos si Semirara before kasi, di ba, may power crisis, tumaas yung coal price, etc. Di ba? But for now, si Semirara, you can treat it more as a dividend yielding name na gives dividends at this certain period of time. You also have to consider kasi na according to Semirara themselves, that they expect coal prices to normalize this year. Normalize meaning pullback, correct? 30% daw. So, that being said, if you're holding Semirara and expect share price appreciation, eh, perhaps you should lower expectations. If dividends, definitely. Cash flow niyan, sobrang lakas. So, parang lower the better. 30, 27, something like that. If wala kang hawak ng Semirara right now, buy na lang after the dividend X date. Dividend X date niya is on April 5th. So, buy after Holy Week. So, but expect for dividends lang. Hold for dividends. Yun. Let me see your questions. Yeah, thoughts on telco and pure gold. So for telco kasi, we're underweight telco, meaning we're not so positive on telco. Mainly because there's a significant competition. And there's significant competition on the mobile space. Diba? That's why we kept on telling pag may nag-a-ask sa amin regarding Globe, na si Globe yan, andun yung potential. Andun yung potential ni Globe. But it's just so happened na si Globe heavy sa mobile. And since we think mobile is competitive, Globe can underperform. So for PLDT, I mean, despite the issues, yung target price namin 15, it's already taken into account all the bad news sa CapEx, etc. But for telco as well, kasi we're underperform. Kasi okay, yung right now, if you take a look at data, tabay voices, SMS, kinakannibalize na yan ng data. So let's talk about data. For data naman, the challenge sa telco is monetizing data. Because before, you can buy a certain data at a higher price as compared to now. Di ba, mas bababa na yung price ngayon, puro, may ang daming promo, etc. So of course, that's good for us. But for the companies, competition yun. Panipis na ng panipis yung kita nila moving forward. That's one. Data challenge, data monetization. Next is regulatory. The regulatory is leaning towards opening the telco up to more competition. Again, good for us, but not so good for the incumbents, Globe, PLDT, di ba? So yun, for dito naman, we don't recommend dito as an investment right now, but we have to recognize na it's eating market share sa mobile space for Globe and Tel. So competitive talaga yung sector niyan, di ba? Kung dividends ka na lang rin, I mean, perhaps pwede ka mag-REITs muna for now. So yun. But our buy call for telco is only PLDT, but again, not a priority for us right now. So for Pure Gold naman, for Pure Gold, we just released a playbook yesterday. So hopefully, you read on it if you're a client. But for Pure Gold naman, our target price is 40 pesos. Again, not a priority, but perhaps if you want defensive names, pwede rin si Pure Gold. Yung problem kasi namin yung cost side niya sa SNR kasi nag-import yun eh. So, something that can drag the whole company. But nevertheless, good to hold at current levels given the upside to our target price of 40. It's at 33, 32 siya, I believe, right now. Yeah. good question. Si GMA7 declared good dividends today, but the share price dropped significantly, which is unusual. Kasi for GMA7, parang ano eh, it expected na yung dividends. For example, Semerara. Semerara, the dividend they declared, parang technically 10% yield yun, but Semerara did not go up 10%. It went up 5-6% only. Kasi in-expect na nila eh, yung dividends. Kumbaga, umakit pa rin si Semerara kasi higher than expected. They wouldn't have thought na 10% yung yield, perhaps 5-6%. For GMA7, the dividends they declared is already expected. So, di siya na-price in na siya ng market when it rebounded. I hope I explained it well na even yung dividends, in-anticipate na rin niya ng market. Diba? So, if you really go for dividends, hindi mo lang siya bibilin after the announcement, you buy it na if you expect dividends. So, whether to buy or not, I mean, that's our role. That's why we're explaining it to you right now or perhaps to our reports. So, our most bearish sector, I think our most bearish sector is telco. And I think we explained it na because of the heavy competition. Okay. So, how about SGP? Yun, how about SGP? For SGP kasi, it's the stock price is underperforming, but in terms of fundamentals, it continues to have this business model na para medyo monopoly kasi siya yung transmission operator sa Philippines, di ba? So, good business model. It just so happens that perhaps na yung dividend is not quite as high as expected. And meron siyang regulatory thing na parang the government's really looking into NGCP to really make their operations more efficient. So, perhaps it's taking a toll on SGP share price. There's this question regarding our thoughts regarding collapse of SVB Bank. And I think I answered this already earlier. I would like to go back na lang sa slide ko no, kanina on why it happened. So ito siya. Lack of diversification siya kasi it bought bonds nung mababa pa yung interest rates and now nung mataas na yung interest rates, incurred bond portfolio paper loss. Na it would have, pwede niya ma-recover yun if it held it until maturity date. But the problem is, the key business of Silicon Valley Bank is to fund yung venture capital names. So, when a lot of venture capital names struggled, di ba? Kasi madami nagsara this year, madami nga mga big companies nag-lay off, they had to withdraw. Yung problem, wala nang mabigay yung Silicon Valley Bank unless they sell their bond portfolio, which they had to do. And now, yung paper loss nila, naging actual loss. So, now, nagkaroon ng distress sa bank. And madami nag-withdraw further. And now, nag-collapse yung bank. So, again, to answer your question, is if may effect sa local banks, as mentioned earlier, or the big banks are well-capitalized. And if may small bank dyan na mag-struggle, we don't think it will have a big effect sa economy because I think the bigger banks are well-capitalized and well-diversified, at least according to the BSP. So I hope that answers your question. But if you ask me, the better question there is, would this have an indirect effect on local banks in the Philippines? Perhaps not. But would this have an indirect effect on the economy in the Philippines? I mean, if the repercussions of high interest rates, pwede. If mag-slow down yung economy, pwede tayo ma-apektuhan in some way. So that's something to watch out for pa rin, di ba? Banking crisis, what's next? Meron pa bang crisis out there na that was brought about by the tightening of interest rates? Usually there is. So let's continue to watch out for news and yun. Okay. So yeah, I think okay, sige. Last question. Thoughts on Alternergy. For Alternergy, I have to recognize now, well-diversified yung portfolio nila. They have wind, hydro, tapos meron silang battery energy storage. It's good. But I think kasi a lot of their projects, parang yun, their growth prospects is hinged on a lot of projects pa. So, if you take a look at it now, it's not earning as much. I believe net loss pa yata siya. So you have other options there which have better prospects, bigger projects na investors might opt for. Especially right now, dumadami ng options for renewable energy. Right? And a lot more established power companies are reverting to or diversifying to renewable energy. So for alternative energy, while it could do well, meron siyang execution risk. Execution risk meaning baka ma-delay yung project. May execute niya ba on time? Delays are usual. But the point is for alternative energy, bunch of their projects are hinged on execution or on future operations. So maliit pa siya ngayon eh. But the potential is there. It just so happened na I won't expect much share price movement for it now. Especially in daming bigger projects na, for example, kay SPNEC, tapos si Aboitiz Power, Meralco, si FGen, established RE, di ba, yung exposure niya. So, investors will focus on that first, yung mga established ones, especially madami ng options. So, you pick the best, you pick the better or the more established ones for now. So, yeah. So, I hope I answered your questions, guys. If you have more questions, feel free to contact us. So, customer service or sa Facebook, post lang kayo there sa Facebook group namin. Feel free to read our reports. So thank you, and this has been Roy Aguilar, Department Head for Retail Research of First Metro Securities. As always, in First Metro Securities, it's hashtag your future first. Thank you everyone, thank you, have a great weekend ahead, have a blessed Holy Week, guys.
Thanks for listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast. Don't forget to follow us to get first dibs on our new episodes. For more up-to-date market news and info, exclusive content, and the opportunity to connect with your fellow Filipino investors and traders, join facebook.com/groups/FirstMetroSec and be part of the First MetroSec family.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.